Hey there, everyone. This is Kevin with the Managing Partners Podcast. Welcome to another episode. Today, I have an interesting guest that's a little bit different topic than we've really covered before. And so I'm excited to have Will Hoppin here on the show with me today. Will's out of New Jersey, and we'll get to hear more about his story here in just a moment and dive into kind of our topic today. But as you can see, I'm out of town today in one of my rental properties in the mountains, so I apologize for the audio probably not being as good if you're listening to this in your car, but we're here to bring the content to you. So excited to talk with Will today, and really, you know, Will kind of, you know, we've talked before, and it's a little over my head for some of the stuff. I own companies. You know, most of the audience that's listening to right now, you attorneys out there own your own law firms, and so I'm really excited to see, you know, what you can learn from this episode. But there's lots of things out there beyond what you're used to or what you're exposed to as an owner, with saving, you know, retirement, tax-free savings, 401ks, all these things, you know, the basic stuff that I know about. There's more beyond that that I'm not familiar with and that Will kind of was telling me about, and I was like, okay, these are things that I've not heard of before. And I pride myself on at least my partner and myself going pretty deep into this stuff and trying to figure out what's the next best thing that we can do. So anyway, without further ado, Will, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the insight, the introduction. I've been doing this for a long time, over 20 years. And it's an interesting business that I've kind of run into. In a nutshell, yeah, I do a ton of work with retirement plans. I do a ton of work with medical insurance, although that's not really as glamorous and pretty as the stuff we're talking about today. I've worked with school districts in Bergen County where we save them, on a 500-person group, over $1 million a year. So to your business owners, we do handle a lot of that. But I think the better part and better focus on what I'd like to talk to you guys about is on the retirement planning itself. You know, in a nutshell, yeah, you're correct. Most folks do know about 401k plans. They do know about Roth IRAs. They do know about qualified plans. But in a lot of situations, you know, for most business owners, I like to refer to it, they get paid out in three ways, right? So the first one is obviously however you get paid, you know, W-2, 1099, K-1, depending upon your scenario, that's the obvious one, and that drives really all the other components. The secondary one is kind of like your dessert, and that is hopefully at the end of the rainbow, when you're ready to pull that ripcord, you can sell your practice for however much that is, right? So there's your secondary, and I call that the dessert. You got your meat and potatoes, you got your dessert, right? Pretty simple to follow. The other caveat the other component I want to talk to you about, to me, I'm a bourbon guy. I'm also a chubby guy, as you can see. I like meat, potatoes, I like dessert, and I like bourbon. So the bourbon component I'm going to talk to you about is really how to get paid out in a third way, and that's through the retirement plans, right? So everybody knows the 401k plans, but the problem is, depending upon the size of your company, you're limited as to what you can and can't do. Okay, sure. So if you have a large firm, IRS and the DOL say they don't want to have these plans set up so that, you know, ownership can make huge amounts of money and stockpile it away, and the rank and file gets nothing, right? So then you start running into the testing components, and it can be cumbersome. But for smaller firms, there's a whole bunch of stuff to do. Small, mid-size, actually really all funds, all platforms can really work. I'll give you an example. We had a group of doctors. Basically what they did, I took over the 401k plan. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's take a look at profit sharing. Let's take a look at a match formula, and let's stick a whole bunch of, you know, caveats on there. So if you leave, you can recapture some stuff. Easy breezy. But then if you looked at the four or five partners that they had, they were making over $1 million a year. And for them at the time, $17,500, it's kind of like being on a forest fire. You know, from a tax perspective, it really wasn't doing them much justice. So I took a look at it and I said, okay, they had about 50 or 60 employees. I worked the numbers out. I think it was roughly 84% of the lion's share for this cash balance plan that we did went directly back to the docs. So we were able to get them over $250,000 a year right off their W-2s. You know, so it's a cool concept, except it really has to be stress tested and really made sure that it works. So if the firm's going to grow in the future, there's things that we're going to want to talk about. Because as the firm grows, you have to kick more out to the staff.
Sure.
So it's kind of a wonky deal, but there are really cool things that we can do. I had another group that was in the legal profession, and what we did with them, because it was a smaller firm, I maxed out the cash balance. And then he said to me, hey, look, I just opened up another $500,000 line every year. What can I do? For him, I said, well, here's what we're going to do. I want to take your wife, put her on the books, and we're going to do a non-qualified deferred compensation. So what we did was we took it was like $285,000 every year that he was using through the cash balance, plus the 401k, plus the other stuff. And then I said, okay, we're going to do this. So what's neat about the non-qualified deferred comps is you can pick and choose who you want. So let's just say I hired you, Kev, and I said, all right, cool. You're my rain man. You're the new guy I want to bring in. Well, I can offer this to you. And Sally in accounting, I don't have to offer it to her. So it's
gold handcuffs, if you will.
That's correct. Yeah. And what's cool with this is, depending upon how the company is structured, if you structure it properly, and for this particular scenario, I advise them to open up another company and pay up into the entity and then pay this out of there. It's a funky, wonky way. But what it did for him was it allowed him to stockpile an extra $500,000 away for him and his family. And the better part is that scenario that we did was free and clear of all creditors and debtors.
Yes. You mentioned, so when we were chatting last time, you had mentioned that, and I thought that was interesting and unique. So that's, can you kind of touch on that a little bit more?
Sure. So by doing that, and without, you know, giving away the secret sauce and the ingredients of the hot dog that everybody enjoys, if you knew what was in it, you probably wouldn't want it. But what we structured with him in his scenario was life insurance. So we overfunded the heck out of it, and it worked for him. Basically, what we did was it was a 10-pay contract done through his company, and it's basically looked at as key man insurance. That's how the taxes were saved. It really comes down to the company itself, comes down to cash flow. It comes down to being creative, and that's really what we strive here in my firm and what I've been doing for 20 years. To touch on that, we have ERISA attorneys that we can lean on. We have actuaries, and we have the people in the back that can crunch these numbers and give, you know, all sorts of scenarios. So even for folks that might have a 401k plan, there's things that we can do to possibly bolt on to what they have currently. It's just, the problem is 9 times out of 10, when people set up a 401k or a retirement plan in general, it's like to set it and forget it, leave it over here, and let's just hope we don't get waffled by, you know, the market. Well, if you've been watching what's going on, there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cover that with the new Fed changes that they just happened. They're talking about a strike down on the docks. A 46% increase they're talking about for goods and services across the U.S. Problematic, right? So what do we do is to maybe curb that? And this just came across my wire actually today. Obviously, this was just literally being talked about. So interestingly enough, what we did for a bunch of our firms is we went back in and said, hey, look, we're going to add another investment option inside your 401k plan. So now let me follow this logic for a second. Let's take you, for example, Kev. You got a personal 401k plan. And let's say you got $500,000 and $1 million, doesn't matter, whatever the number is. That investment that you have is probably, you know, threaded through around 15 to 20 funds. And you're basically kind of going like this and hoping and praying that you get your, you know, 6, 8, 10, 20% rate of return. And then life's great. But here's the problem. If the market tanks, that hurts you directly. So what we've been doing, and this is just a brand new product that came on, I would say maybe beginning of the year. It's changed twice since, but it's really cool in the fact that we can put this inside the 401k plans, take your $500,000, your $1 million, whatever it is, dump it into this. So there's two good reasons why you'd want to do this. The first one is, well, let's just say that you're not the young spry lad that you are. Let's say that you're over the age where you have to take RMD, but you're still working because you don't want to take that RMD, right? We put this thing inside the 401k plan. You own, the owner is the 401k plan, so you're still staying under the protection of the umbrella, right? Okay. But here's the best part about it. The platform that I'm talking about, the actual scenario, it has a 20% downside hedge against the market. So you put in $1 million. At the end of the year, let's say the market dropped 20%. You got $1 million. So that's a huge component that we've been taking a hard look at for folks. It really comes down to the actual company itself. And it comes down to cash flow and what you can and can't do. You know, a lot of folks, like I said, they're focusing on the meat and potatoes. They're focusing on the dessert and saying, hey, look, I got 10 more years left in this. I'm going to pull my ripcord. I'm going to go up to the mountains and hang out with Kevin and just enjoy life, right? That's a great concept. And you might have all the cash in the world to do that. But what I can propose and what I can show you is another way to just basically stave off and take a couple $100,000 per year, if that's, you know, in your cards, and stick it over here. So the government doesn't have to bother you and be a pain in your rump. So a lot of times what we do with this, and it really tends to work hand in glove if it comes to fruition, is you can utilize the stuff from the non-qualified deferred comp situation prior to age 59 and a half. So if you're looking for an early pull on the ripcord and you don't want to use, let's say, the proceeds from the sale of business, or maybe you got other stuff that that's tied up in, or however the play might be, this is a way that you can utilize it as well. So to your initial point, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot we can get into, I think. So, so it sounds like, you know, depending on your law firm, which you're listening, like what your structure is, your size, the cash flow, you know, what I kind of took from it when we spoke last was really, you're making good money, but you're not able to stick it in a lot of places. You're running out of places to put it.
Right.
And yeah, like hopefully a lot of the owners listening, like you can't even qualify for a Roth IRA.
Correct.
I can't. So I have a simple through the company, which we're looking at going to 401k.
Right.
But the simple, yeah, I think it's maybe 14.5 per year. I have an HSA that I have in the market as well. That's I think that's like, I don't know, 12 or 13,000 or something like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, if you're making $500,000, $1 million a year, that's not a lot of money, you know.
Yeah, the answer is if you're in that category, you're basically handcuffed with what you can and can't do, right? So you're right. You're not going to qualify for Roth, which would be a wonderful concept. But the stuff that I have acts like a Roth IRA in the same concept, except you can do it under the umbrella of the company. So there are really cool ways. And again, there's so many different ways to pivot in this, and it's really hard to kind of narrow things down. But I guess the main gist of the stuff is explore. I've been doing this for 24 years. Right, Jesus Christ, I'm old. But what it means to me is there's not much in this world that I haven't seen. I've gone into environments where I've taken a look at people's 401k plans and they have a defined benefit plan, let's say. Here's a great one. I had a doctor, this guy, young guy, 44 years old, really wild scenario. When I met him, they had a 401k plan, and it was, I want to say it was with Morgan Stanley, and they were getting hammered with fees, expenses, and charges. I looked at it and I said, guys, this is just way too much. He also had a cash balance, but here's the problem. Remember when I talked to you about how firms grow and then you have to sprinkle it all around the infield?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this worked inversely to that 80-20 mix where he was paying out 80% for his staff and keeping 20% for himself. It's a nightmare, right? So it wasn't stress tested. It wasn't handled properly. So I met with him. I said, Doc, look, you got a problem here. And he goes, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. He goes, I'm spending so much money on everybody else, and I'm catching minimal of the lion's share. I said, yeah. So here's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to cancel the plan. He goes, oh, it's terrible. I said, but all isn't lost. So what I talked to him about, he's the one I suggested creating a C-Corp inside, paying up into it, and creating something for himself and his executive team. What was really cool about this guy was, so he's the type of guy who just started buying up practices, and his income was almost $15 or $18 million a year. So I told him, I said, well, what, give me a number, something to work with. He goes, I want to put away at least $1 million a year. No problem. So what we did was we did this inside, basically a really wild, complex plan. But bottom line is $1 million a year he's putting away for 10 years. Now, again, not everybody can do this, but we can scale this and make it efficient towards however, whatever, and whomever, as long as the parameters work. This guy's putting $1 million away for 10 years. His outlay is $10 million. So we structured this that I think that takes them up to 55. So from 55 for 20 years, he's going to pull out almost $900,000. Tax-free. Let me slow down and say that again. Tax-free.
Yeah.
So his outlay is 10, and he's taken back $19 million. And at the end of it, he still has another taxable payout that his family gets tax-free. And the best part for him, being a doctor who operates free and clear of all creditors. I told him, I said, look, Doc, you know, you're obviously doing well. But if, let's just say, you or one of your guys lops off the wrong arm on somebody,
yeah,
you can lose the stuff in a heartbeat. You know, so for him, that made sense. I had the roofer guy was what I was telling you about before. We did $500,000 into it for him and his wife. So it's really scalable. What the doctor liked most about it was he's like, look, I got four guys and I'm looking to recruit more. I said, well, okay, let's explore that. You can do this for them. And what you can do is you can slap a vesting schedule on the back of it. So here's the really cool part. Let's say, Kev, you realize that I'm just really good at, I don't know, at this stuff, and you want to hire me. Okay, cool. Nice. I didn't talk about my compensation, though. And I eat a lot, so you're really in deep trouble. But what I'm getting at with him is, I said, you can go ahead and slap vesting schedules on this. So let's just say that doctor that you're trying to hire, that attorney that you're looking to attract, you know, money is great, right? Everybody talks about, hey, look, we'll give you a higher percentage of the cases you bring in. And that's all well and great. But the problem is that can go away in a heartbeat because somebody can come right in behind you and offer 5 basis points more and you might jump. But this type of stuff, what you do is you slap a vesting schedule on it and says, all right, look, Kevin, I want to hire you. I'll put $150,000 into this thing for 10 years. And, you know, year 12 or 14, you'll get X amount of dollars tax-free. It's part of your compensation.
Yep.
By the way, if you leave in 4 years, I can retract $400,000 back and use that to replace you. So that really... But by doing that, you're basically ensuring that you'll have the next rainmaker should, you know, Kevin Daisy decide to leave my firm.
I love that. Yeah. So I like the vesting schedule too. So you got to stay here for a certain amount of time or, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. That's...
So it's a document. It's a document that person would sign. The owner would sign. I hold on to them. And it's a legally binding contract that states if you leave prior to X, you only get A, B, and C. So you can do it on a cliff vesting.
Yeah, well, you know, in all this podcast and most of my audience and guests, you know, we talk about running businesses and operating them better and marketing them better and hiring. But it's, you know, more about the work product, how we awesome at what we do and how do we improve that all the time. This is the piece that, you know, most people I don't hear talk about, or they don't go very far into it. So, you know, like you just said a little bit ago, explore. Like, there's, you know, as you're growing and scaling in your firm, like, how are you taking care of yourself, your family, your key employees?
How are you attracting new folks? You know, this type of stuff, when you actually go into the marketplace and you start looking and saying, okay, well, how can I get that next person? All right, I want to get the best attorney around that has specialized in toxic tort. Okay, great. Well, that dude probably gets paid out the wazoo. And if you offer him a bigger percentage of his cases, that might move the needle. I don't know. But if you offer some of this behind there and just say, hey, look, I'll fully fund your retirement if you stick with me. Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, it's a different concept.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, what I've seen, we've done this ourselves with some of our, some key folks that run, you know, our companies, our presidents. So I have three different presidents, three different companies. And so they're, you know, key men. Is there more, you know, like for one of it, well, for two of them, they're not worried about themselves or the pay here and now. It's, they're married and they have families. And so this helps support that piece of it versus like, yeah, pay is pay. Right. It's here and now. Great.
That's your meat and potatoes. Like I said before, at the end of the day, that is what it is. It, you know, doing something like this can, it can absolutely change anybody's business model because you start putting this stuff together. Sure, the outlay is probably more than what you want, but if you can get a tax break on it, for starters, all right, that's a win, right? Mm-hmm. If you can attract somebody and say, hey, look, I know maybe 5, 10% more of your cases, that might be, you know, that's great. That's easy to figure out. But if they're on the fence, you just hit them with, hey, look, you know, I can fully fund your retirement. Okay, well, you got my attention. You know, let's discuss that. It's a cool concept. I mean, but again, you know, to your point initially, each scenario is going to be unique. Each situation is going to be completely different. To my earlier point, these things can be bolted on. But I always tell folks, you know, anybody that works with me, what I do is I benchmark every single one of my plans every year. Okay. And that's not to say, hey, look, you know what, we're going to move from Empower to Voya, Voya to this. No. You're speaking to attorneys. They know about how they can be sued for fees, expenses, and charges. So I make sure that that's a big component. So you know, when you're doing things like this, you take a look at that every single year. You benchmark it. You see how it's going. Put that together. I button it up and I hand that to them. And, you know, remember when back in the day when you played Monopoly and you pull that chance card? It's to get out of jail. When you kept it for the whole time until you landed on getting out of jail? Well, if the IRS and DOL ever look at this stuff and say, hey, what are you doing for your plans? Have you benchmarked them? Have you, you know, the answer is, oh, geez, yeah, I met with Will Hoffman and, you know, here you go. And they say, okay, have a nice day. We'll find something else to ding you on.
Yeah, you can come at you for something else.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's a cool business. I dig it. It's unique. I enjoy talking to different folks. Each situation is unique. You know, you get some really cool people that get this. A lot of folks think they get it. Problem is, not a lot of folks actually swim in this market.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I go back to like my CPA that we had prior. Not creative, not proactive, not suggesting anything, right? And me and my partner are always going, Can't we do this over here? Or I learned this
right
from a podcast guest, or I learned this at a conference, or I'm in a business group and they were saying I can do X, Y, Z. And, you know, if your accountants are like, nah, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound right. You know, that's where we were. And so it's like, you know, if you're listening and you have a firm and you're trying to figure out better ways to optimize or other things that you can be doing, unfortunately, you know, sometimes you have to drive that conversation or find someone like Will or, you know, Adam with Pennywise. He's a lawyer. He was on my show recently, but he does like tax strategy. And, sure. You know, just you want to start looking for folks that are a different level up, right? So you got your Wills, you got your Adams, you got your, you know, looking at those, you know, people that are looking deeper and strategies that are going to be unique for your situation. So
I think the key is then, you know, once you do something like that, you meet with your Adam, you meet with your Wells. I always tell folks, you know, let's have a round table. Like, here's what I'm thinking. I want to make sure that you're okay with this. And then at the end of the day, that report that I kind of went through, everybody gets a copy of it. So everybody knows what's going on. I like to be an open book. I don't like to have any, you know, BS. The answer is I work for my clients, and that's really what we do. We do this stuff day in and day out. And just, I come at them all the time with some off the wall, crazy ideas, but it's all steeped and based in laws and things that are passed. So it's not like I'm coming at them with some, you know, wild, wacky, you know, Wednesday news stuff, but there's some really cool stuff and great stuff. It's an ever evolving industry. There's always new things coming out. And at the end of the day, if I'm not telling them about it, somebody else is. And now I just lost a client. So to me,
keeping money across us and going to the Cayman Islands or something.
Well, that's our oh, you know what clause, right?
I can help with that too. Just
yeah, he's got an airplane out back. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But I think it's cool stuff. I dig this stuff. I think your listeners, I think they can benefit from this. You know, if ever anybody wants to walk through a scenario, even if it's just as generic as X, Y, and Z, give me a shout. Like I said, 25 years in this industry is not much I haven't seen. And, you know, I'm a pretty easy dude to talk to.
Yeah, very easy. So, yeah, everyone, so, you know, if you have questions or you want to connect with Will, you can reach out to me and I can make the connection. Or, Will, what's a really good way for them to connect with
Excellent you? Question. Part of the conversation I want to have with you next. My website is, I just purchased a new one. It is completely being rehauled and being fixed.
I'm glad.
The best way to reach me is probably through my cell. Would you mind if I just...
Yeah, go ahead. You can just say it on here. And also, I'll, again, you know, I can connect you all.
Great.
If you're interested too. But go ahead.
Easiest way is the cell. It's 201-370-4950. I say that because I'm on the road all the time, meeting with folks, and leave me a message. I don't answer if I'm with a client. I'm trying to teach my children the same thing, although I seem to think that falls on deaf ears. I don't know about you, but my kids just look at their phone the whole time while I'm talking to them. But yeah, you have my information. If ever anybody wants to reach me, even if for an exploratory question, give me a shout.
Yeah, well, again, you know, if you're, you know, one of those high earners, you know, you're looking for better options out there or something maybe you've never even heard of before, or just to explore, I think it's definitely worth doing that. And I'm learning stuff all the time. And so how can we apply it? Can we apply it? When can we apply it? And if not, you know, there's things that I've learned about years ago that we're just applying now that we weren't able to apply.
Right. It's an ever-evolving, all businesses are growing, changing. This is something you should look at every year.
Yeah. So, Will, I appreciate everything you've shared. And, again, anyone that needs anything or wants to connect with Will or if you have questions, just let me know. And I'm happy to do that for you. So,
thanks so much.
Looking for cool new topics on the show. Also, if you're listening and you haven't been a guest and you think you could be a good guest and bring a cool topic to the table, reach out and let me know. You can just email me, kevin@arraydigital.com or LinkedIn or wherever you're watching this. You can just comment and we'll hook you up. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Will, thanks for joining me and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks. See you soon.